So where do we stand with the federal Pentagon program? Because there's been a lot of criticism here, especially in the light of Ferguson with the program.
Well, there has been. I think there's also been a lot of misinformation about what kinds of things are available in that program. I've seen all the vehicles that were at Ferguson. They were generally under Homeland Security. I don't know that any of those particular vehicles had anything to do with military surplus. And they were all defensive in nature. But if you'd looked at some of the coverage on this, the national coverage, you'd assume there were tanks and handheld weapons that nobody else could get their hands on. And neither of those things are the case. If you've ever seen a Brinks truck, that's probably the most analogous to the kinds of vehicles that are generally out there as part of that Homeland Security program, the Bears and the Bearcats, used often in Kansas City. They tell me they use those to go to incidents at least twice every single month. And often if you've got somebody that's maybe a deranged shooter in a building, suddenly seeing that vehicle, even though it's a defensive vehicle, pull up, it makes them feel a lot less like they're going to get away with whatever they thought they were going to do than before. Now, I think there are some legitimate questions about the federal involvement here. One of the things that came out of one of the hearings was that 39% of all the surplus surplus equipment from the military had never been used. Now, that's a legitimate question. Why would we be buying 39% of everything we're buying in some categories never used at one time? They're brand new or never used. Why does the Department of Education need a SWAT team? That's probably a legitimate federal question. What local police wear and when they decide to put it on, or what kind of equipment they need, is probably not something that is best decided in Washington, D.C.
Well, did you talk about Ferguson and specifically how these agencies may be responding to the civil disobedience that comes?
You know, I've been involved in that discussion a lot, and that wasn't one of the major discussions today, though I think that all the agencies involved have said, as you would after something like this, we learned some things we do differently next time. There was nobody from the Ferguson police here today, but Chief Belmer was here, and I know I've read and seen a number of things he's said. You know, now that we know how something like this plays out, we do it a little bit differently, and that's easy to do looking back. There are lessons here to be learned, but I'm just trying to gather information about how this equipment is used, how you get it. Most of the equipment that comes through the Homeland Security program over the years to our state has been communications equipment. And one of the things you learned at 9/11 was that even the fire and police in New York City couldn't communicate with each other. So that's been there. But the defensive, the Humvee, the MRAP, in a few places in outstate Missouri, becomes the, and here too, becomes the last vehicle, the last rescue vehicle. When nothing else can get through the snow, when nothing else can get through the flooded street, that vehicle can. It becomes the first vehicle you probably want to get to the school if there's a school shooting. I know there was one proposal, well, maybe we should have this equipment, it should just be located in one place in every state. Well, let me tell you, if there's a school shooting, you ask the average person, how far away would you like the best vehicle that could get there? They're not going to say 200 miles. They're going to say two blocks. It's probably not going to be two blocks away, but it shouldn't be 200 miles away either. So I think we're gathering more facts about really how this equipment's used, how often it's used, why it's used, and why the Homeland Security Department likes to see equipment like that stationed appropriately around the country. In cities the size of St. Louis and St. Louis County, you fill out a form every year. How would you be able to respond to these various incidents? And having this kind of equipment available depends on whether Homeland Security thinks, well, you've got to have more equipment. You don't have what you need to be responsive.
Is it really? I mean, a lot of this equipment is probably going to St. Louis County Police Department, which is probably one of the biggest police departments in the state. And a lot of that was used during the Ferguson situation. Is it unreasonable for a department to get that type of equipment, or is really the question whether some of this equipment is going to departments that are too small and can't handle it, basically?
Well, I think most of the Homeland Security equipment goes to the bigger departments in areas that Homeland Security would think would be more vulnerable to some kind of Homeland Security problem. But even most of the military surplus probably goes to those agencies. But, you know, there's some rural communities where if you can qualify to get a Humvee, even most of us could figure out how to drive a Humvee. The ability to use this equipment is often not nearly as difficult as somebody might think. But, of course, if you thought it was heavily armored equipment or it was a tank or some of the early reports that you heard around the country, you'd have a totally different view of this, just like you do whether, you know, do you want policemen chasing somebody through the wooded areas at night in what was happening in Ferguson where there were lots of shooting going on, none by the police? Do you want them in a white shirt or do you want them in some kind of camouflage? Obviously, you want to be making a decision there that can't be made by the Justice Department in Washington, D.C. Now, I was the first person after Chief Belmer and Charlie Dooley called for assistance from the Justice in the investigation to say, I hope they'll do that. I think there's a place where a parallel, redundant, and best looking at the same facts was a good thing. But I also immediately said, but remember, to Eric Holder, I said publicly, that at the end of the day, the people who locally have responsibility for these jobs are the people who eventually have to take responsibility for these jobs. Gotta go.
Was there any continuity throughout the state? This is your last stop today, or were a lot of the concerns very similar everywhere you've been?
You know, I think actually I've spent so much time with the officers here in the last couple of months that there was a little more wide-ranging discussion here about narcotics and parole policies and things and just the number of officer deaths around the country in the last few months exceeding what's happened in previous years, plus three officer shootings here just in the last month. So I do have to go.